Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Holly. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Sheffield Wednesday. We'll also have another edition of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, making its return again 2 weeks in a row. We will be starting off with that. But before we get going, I always obviously have to welcome my co-host to the show. David, how are you doing?
Hello, I am David Holly, and I'm a miserable sod, and I would like to apologise for being a miserable sod. But being an invalid is not my chosen vocation, I'm afraid, and I'm getting sick of being an invalid. So I'm glad that we have the next 45 minutes or so to take my mind off things, and I very much enjoy talking to you, and I hope we can have a show that is somewhere close to as being as good as last week, Russ.
Listen, last week's show was excellent. And and just so you know, David, and I wasn't sure if you had to take a look, but last week's show we had over 700 listeners to last week's show, and that's excellent. So again, people are listening, and it really was a great show. So let's hope that this show is just as good. But before we get going with the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, I want to share some information with everyone, and you might have seen this on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and it has to do with our Cottage Talk co-host Giannis Janaeus, because His team, you know, again, it's going to be in a final tomorrow. I'm just going to read some information. It's right on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Again, the Ontario Cup Finals for the under-13 girls will take place at the Ontario Soccer Center Stadium on Saturday, September 19th. North Mississauga Black Panthers will take on the North London Galaxy, with the kickoff being at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, which will be 5 p.m. in the U.K. And what's interesting, David, just so you know, this match will be televised. The login will be on that Facebook post that I posted earlier. I believe it'll be made available tomorrow. But if anyone wants to watch Giannis's team, they might be televised. So please do check it out. And listen, I wanna wish Giannis, his wife, and the girls of the Black Panthers best of luck.
Certainly. This will be actually a good chance, if we can watch it, to see Giannis put his money where his mouth is, because he talks a good game about being a coach. We'll see the fruits of his labor now, won't we, Russ?
Absolutely. If you want to check out Giannis in action, this is a way to do it. It should be fun. But in all seriousness, I wish him and his team the best of luck. All right,
well,
David.
Same here.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I know he's excited. And so again, there've been some nice comments on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. You can also post any thoughts you have for Giannis and his team, because he's looking at them, and his girls' team are looking at those comments. So it's really nice that some of the fans are sharing their thoughts, and best of luck to Giannis. All right, David, let's get going with the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. I have a couple subjects here, and I post them on the Cottage Talk Facebook page just to get us going. And the first one is something that I really want to go back into. Matt Smith.
Matt
on our
Smith.
Last show, we talked about it. And then on the show before, you know, a subject matter that I'm really interested your feedback on, and also from the Cottage Talk, from the Cottage Talk Facebook page, which I'll be sharing as well. Here's the question. If you were the full manager, what would have been your strategy for the second half of the Blackburn match? Please include what you would have told the team at halftime and any changes you would have made during the second half. All right, David, you're the manager. What would you have done?
This is where I regret saying how easy it is to do the post-match show and how difficult it is to do the pre-match show, because it's all supposition. And there's a lot of supposition in here because you know, we don't really know what he told them. I'm sure he didn't tell them to sit back and try and soak up the pressure for 45 minutes and play badly. It would be very interesting to know what he said at halftime. But the problem was the second half, we did sit back and we invited the pressure. And we weren't winning the ball in the air at the back. And we just sat deep and deep, and they launched more and more long balls, and they won nearly every one of them and put us under pressure. So certainly, I think we needed to come at them more. What happened was that dynamics seemed to change for me, whereas Tunnicliffe had been thrusting forward, and O'Hara had been quite dominant. These two both faded second half. Certainly also Ben Pringle for me seemed to fade a lot, and you know I think it was justified, his substitution. And credit to Kit that he brought on Fredericks, who's, you know, an attacking player in that respect. He didn't just, sometimes when you're under the cosh, you just bring on another defending player and you just sit back even deeper and invite more pressure. So at least he did perhaps try to find a new outlet for us to get forward, and he moved Tom Kearney to his correct side. So credit for that. But I think there would be in a case, even maybe the sainted O'Hara, maybe there was a case for him to be withdrawn second half, and perhaps someone like LBC come on to give us some fresh legs and perhaps some more forward running. I mean, what would you tell the team at half time? You're 2-0 up, perhaps slightly fortuitously, where, you know, thanks to your goalkeeper, he's made a couple of great saves. You're going to tell them keep doing the same, I would imagine. I think that's what you would as a manager. Try and obviously make notes of anything that was of concern at the back, i.e. they have been quite dominant in the air. Don't let them get the crosses in, but in the main, carry on as you're playing, because we saw some fantastic interplay, especially the first 30 minutes, you know, between people like McCormack and Dembele. So, although there were some minor areas of concern, and had luck not been on our side, it could have been a different picture. In the main, you want to reinforce all the things that are positive in the first half and to continue with those. But for whatever reason, we didn't see any of those really in the second half. It was, you know, very few and far between. As I say, we ended up sitting back. And for me, I certainly would have tried to counter that more in the second half. I would have tried to get the back line as high as possible, so at least if they're winning the ball in the air, they're not getting flicked down in or around the box, which they were doing. And I was kind of relieved in a way that Husband had to go off, not because I'd wanted to see him go off, but to see Dan Byrne come in for the last few minutes at the back, because Tim Ream was getting beaten in the air all the time towards the end. And to get him out of the firing line to get someone a bit taller, a bit more dominant than Dan Byrne in was a relief. Had Husband not been injured, you know, would we have seen Dan Byrne as a straight swap for Ream at that point? That would have been more controversial. But, you know, Stearman was struggling as well, likewise. And it was all coming in the air, and they were just totally dominating. So the simple thing to do is to play a higher line. You've got to just try and play this higher line, so that the flick-ons and the flick-downs don't fall in the box. So that would have been what I tried to do. So I would have tried to look to reinforce the centre of our midfield to try and get us forward more, which maybe bringing on fresh legs like LVC, as I said before, might have done.
Okay.
But in terms of telling them something, when you're going to the break half-time up winning 2-0, the main thing is obviously to carry on doing what you've been doing right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, David. If I was Kit, and again, we're not in there, so we're just all speculating what he might have said, but I agree with pretty much everything that you had to say. I would have said something somewhere, just play the way that you've been playing in the first half, but I agree with your take on playing a higher line and not getting deeper and deeper, like you mentioned, because I think that was a problem. And, you know, again, I'm glad that you also mentioned the potential of taking O'Hara off and bringing on LVC. I think maybe that might have made a difference. Let me ask you one more question before we go to the Cottage Talk Facebook page and the phone supporters. Would you have changed the formation at all? I've seen a good amount of that in the commentary.
I would be very kind of reluctant to make a major change to the formation in terms of, you know, unsettling the team, unless they felt they really had to do that. I mean, I'm not sure where or how you would change the formation. I mean, you end up with these kind of half fixes where someone like McCormack ends up at left midfield or something, for example, and I don't like to see that at all. I don't think we need to change the formation as such, because we had players on the bench who were straight swaps for kind of basically all the positions. And, you know, O'Hara for LBC would have been a straight swap. Fredericks for Pringle was effectively a straight swap, because they just moved Kearney over to his natural side. Would have been the same had they brought on Kakanicic. Would have been the same had they brought on Corley, of course, because he would have been a straight swap for you know, either of the forwards, really. So, no, I don't think a change in formation was what needed. I mean, what formation are you Are you sort of intimating we could have swapped to then?
Well, I'm just talking about it again. I'll read the comments to you, but many fans are suggesting, and Matt was talking about it as well on the prior show, about possibly bringing in another body in the midfield.
Well, I guess you could have obviously brought on LBC and taken off, I don't know, who would you be taking off? One of the strikers then, I guess. But, you know, in this game, one of the most positive things I've seen in this game was the interplay between Dembele and McCormack. And this is really something that, you know, I was talking to Mike Gregg about this earlier. Now that they've had a bit of a run together for a few games, we're starting to see, you know, a fledgling partnership coming up. And you look how Dembele set up McCormack. And I think we want to try and give these as much game time as possible. Also, if you take a strike off or put a midfielder on, you're effectively making the team play deeper again, I suppose you could say. You know, again, you're inviting them on more. You know, attack is the best form of defence. If we kept getting the ball up to the two front players who'd been quite, you know, dangerous in the first half, then the ball isn't going to be going near our defence. So I'm always kind of in these situations where a team's coming at us. I'm always wary about doing things to make you more defensive, which is just going to, you know, invite more pressure. I want to try and counteract that, if anything.
Okay. Fair enough, David. You know, I definitely see where you're coming from on that. You know, again, that's what's great about doing the show. We can have different opinions, and I'm not disagreeing with your opinion. I'm just sharing you a little bit of what I've heard and also what you're about to hear from some of the comments. So I'm going to share them with you now. And let's start with Trucker Dave. Trucker Dave said, simply attack. As Matt said in the last show, it's our best form of defense. Goal difference could easily cost us come the end of the season. We needed 4-5-0 result. Very interesting from Trucker Dave. Jill Fowler said, same as the first. We're awesome in the first half and awful in the second. 90 minutes of the same would be good. Yavor Alexiev, I would have taken O'Hara off for LVC and Dembele off for Woodrow. I would have made McCormack up top and left Woodrow drop a bit deep in order to help out the midfield. Then I would have put Kaká on for Pringle. I would have tried to attack down the wings until Blackburn gave up and went home. Okay. Let's see. Alexander said, pack the midfield and close them down. And Thea Evans said, need to score a third to kill the game off. Would have replaced O'Hara after yellow for LVC and Pringle on 60 minutes for Kaká. Plus Dembele for the fresh legs of Woodrow. Plus, until that third goal is scored, do not sit deep. And that's already what you were talking about there, David. Simon Rugg said, my strategy would have been based around discipline. Close them down. Don't give them an inch. Counterattack as they will push forward. Try to get into dangerous positions for free kicks. You can park the bus, but my managerial style would be only to do that from 75 minutes. Either way, Kit's tactics, as much as we criticize, scraped us over the line to 3 points. And finally, Chris Lewis said, praise the squad, told them to keep up the tempo for the first 10 minutes and withdrawn Pringle for Kaká. Okay, those are the comments from the Fulham supporters. What do you make of some of the commentary there, David?
Well, it seems the majority of people are saying make straight swaps, you know, where subs need to be made, and attack is the best form of defence, really. No one seems to really be kind of suggesting you want to sit back and park the bus. There's quite a lot of faith still in Kaká, which is, this is so difficult for me, because I saw Kaká after the game on Sunday. He was actually on the phone talking Swedish to someone, and he walked past me, but as soon as he saw me, he put his arm out and shook my hand as he walked past. And, you know, and I'm now going to say that I think it was the right move not to bring him on, because,
okay,
one, I wanted to see what Fredericks could do, and two, I've been very disappointed with Kaká so far again this season. You know, he gets the ball in promising situation, bursts forward, stops, looks up, goes around in circles, goes backwards, and really there hasn't been enough cut and thrust from him. I mean, Fredericks showed in only one move what the sort of potential we could have, because Ross McCormack slipped a little ball forward to him and he was a yard or two behind two Blackburn players and he beat both of them to it. And apparently, according to Kit, he's not even fully fit. And that's what he can do. So that's the sort of directness that you need. And other teams have as well. And someone with that pace, that's a great thing. And what I liked about Fredericks was, although I think he could be a replacement maybe for Richards as an attacking right back, him and Richards actually worked quite well together, because when one of them was going forward, the other one was sitting back. And Richards seemed more confident to go forward once Fredericks was on, because Kearney's not really going to drop back into the right back, but Richards did. So we seem to be much better balanced on that side, and Kearney didn't seem to be, you know, dishevelled being on the left. So that was a move actually I wanted to see, and you always want to see what a new player can do. And I think that Fredericks, as attacking winger, could be a lot more dangerous potentially than Kaká. So I like Alex a lot, and I want him to do well, and I applaud everyone's kind of persistence with him, and a lot of people have faith in him. But we've had him a very long time, and I think we're getting to a point with him where he really needs to start consistently producing the goods. Saying that, of course, we know with Dembele, he's had a consistent run in the team. We're starting to see things blossom. Alex, again, hasn't really had a consistent run in the team for quite a long time. He's had these small bursts, and then he's been out. And at the moment, between him and Pringle, it's chop and change all the time. So, you know, it's difficult as well to get yourself established when you're in that situation.
Okay, very good there, David. And listen, one of the things I do like about Fredericks, and I said this with Matt Smith, is a little bit what you said. You know, if you put him in the midfield, and you have Richards behind him as your fullback, it's very dangerous. And I like his flexibility. That again, he could play fullback, but he can also play in the midfield. I do like that about them. And I actually do applaud Kit for that move. Now before we move on, you know, our Carter Talk co-host Mike Gregg was chiming in after the match that he wanted another move, another substitution to go along with the substitution for Fredericks. Would you have made that substitution at that point, say, like you were mentioning, for LVC for O'Hara? Would you have done it at the same time?
Well, there's certainly a question mark over O'Hara. We had that tackle, which I don't think was that bad. I think his kind of momentum just took him. He's gone in for the ball aggressively, and his momentum has taken him into the other guy. I think a yellow card was correct, but I can see why some people say it should have been a red. Perhaps he just lost his cool at that point. And certainly second half, he lost his effectiveness, and I don't know whether that was him personally or just everyone around him as well. There was most certainly an argument for making a change there and giving someone like LVC a chance, someone who's going to pick the ball up and try and hold it in the middle, use it and run forward with it, taking the pressure off our back. So, sorry. I would certainly endorse that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, listen, I'm with Mike and you on that. And, you know, again, I just think another change at the same time could have really been effective. Again, you could also say maybe take Tunnicliffe off and bring on LVC. One of them, I think, should have come off. And I see why, you know, again, even though O'Hara has been great for us, I think maybe a change to someone like LVC with his pace could have really helped. But it wasn't done. So, you know, that's what's great about our show, David. We can talk about it after the fact. All right, let's move on to the second Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable question. And, David, if you were the full manager, what would be your standard back four if all players were healthy? Again, Luke Garbutt's out. You know, again, we've been dealing with some injuries. Everyone's healthy. What is your standard back four?
This is an impossible question because, you need me to make a judgment on Stearman and Ream after one game together, basically. So that's
difficult. No, it's difficult. You're right. It's difficult after one match. You're right.
If I was doing it on one game, Ream would probably be out, to be honest with you, and I'm not really sure about Stearman, so it's hard to say that. And in the same vein, I haven't seen Garbutt play, but I'm a big fan of James Husband, so I'd actually have James Husband in at the moment because I've seen him play and I know what he can do.
And okay, very good.
He's a threat going forward, James Husband. He's always likely to win you free kicks and penalties as well when he goes forward because he's got that trickiness about him when he gets into the box. So, you know, Luke Garbutt, I haven't seen him play at all, of course, because he's been injured for all of the league season. So that's, you know, it's a very difficult time to ask this question, really. At the moment, I don't know. I'm toss up at right back. I'd like to think Fredericks could do a job as a right back and an attacking midfielder. An attacking fullback, sorry. Stearman will probably come good. I'm really not sure about the other position. At the moment, I'd probably rather have Dan Burn in there. And at left back, I'd have Husband. So that's probably not any of the answers you're expecting.
No, it's fine, David. Listen, you're entitled to your opinion. And you know, again, when I was looking for topics to discuss, this is one that's, you know, again, a little bit difficult, like you mentioned, because we have two players that have only started playing with Fulham, and it's difficult to judge. But, you know, again, I'm just putting it out there, and maybe I'll ask it again in 2 months' time, and maybe you'll have a different answer. But again, I see where you're going on this. And listen, the only thing that I would say, and rightfully so for you, it's difficult to judge Ream and Stearman on one match. You know, again, you know, it's funny, David, because I've seen Tim Ream play a little bit more than you, because he has played for the U.S. men's national team. And I have seen him play a few more times. And what people have told me is he's not going to be a player that's going to be great in the air. That's just not his game. That, you know, we're going to have to depend on Stearman for that. He's going to be good, you know, good doing the other things that center backs can do. He's definitely going to be good on the ball and getting the ball out of the back. But if you're depending on him to win balls in the air, that's not really his strength. He can do it, but he's not going to be great at it, David, to be honest with you.
No, I was a bit concerned that across the ground he looked a bit slow, and he got beaten a couple of times. There was one in the second half where the guys got behind him, if you remember, to the byline and pulled it back.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, hold on a minute. If he's not very quick across the ground and he's not very good in the air, then Dan Burn is better on at least one of those. We know Dan Burn isn't the fastest either, but at least
right.
in the air, he's most likely to win those. So that did concern me a little bit, really. And you know, it's very hard to make this sweeping judgment after seeing him
sure.
playing there one game with a new partner.
Sure.
So I do apologise for what might sound like harsh criticism, but if it had to be on the basis of one game, I would probably rather have Dan Burn there at this minute.
No, that's fine, David. And again, I'm asking you to judge it after a short period of time. So very fair criticism by you and the way that you're looking at it. And like I said, maybe we'll revisit this in 2 months' time, and you could feel completely different, which is good. All right, you know, again, let's see what the Fulham supporters had to say, and we only have a few comments. We'll go with our friend Ben Reed. He said Richard Stearman, Ream and husband, the center back pair of Stearman and Ream needs time to develop as a partnership. Given it was the first time together, their performance versus Blackburn was far from a disaster. Not perfect, granted, but definitely an improvement on last season. Roger Lewis said, Grimmer, Stearman, Ream, Garbutt. I think we have seen the best of Richards, but not Grimmer. Husband is only on loan till Garbutt is fit again. Burn would replace Ream if we were facing a team with a known aerial threat. And that goes back to what you said, David, aerial threat. And then finally, real quick, I believe we have one more comment from Colm Bugler. He says, Garbutt, Ream, Stearman, Fredericks, and as you just heard, Roger has your concerns as well, David, but what are your thoughts about what these three Fulham supporters had to say?
They're all very fair. I mean, what Ben says is absolutely right. You know, they've had one game together. They weren't ideal, but they did okay, and it's impossible to make some sweeping thing. I'm sure Anglin and Hughes' first game together, there were quite a few people who had their concerns. So I remember being at a match, and I've said this before, I'm quite sure. I'm sure someone was moaning about Hanglin behind me, saying how much we missed that night and how much we want him back. Now, obviously, this guy was more in need of white coats than you are ever, Russ. But this guy really believed that Hanglin was that bad, that night was a better choice. So everyone's
yep.
going to have their own opinions and stuff. And
sure.
I'm sure, certainly, if Hanglin and Hughes weren't playing bad individually, as a partnership it took time to flourish. So Ben is absolutely right what he says. Obviously the same with the other comments. I think we've seen there is, you know, a few people have mentioned this trend that they're a bit concerned about Ream's aerial ability, and in this division we face a lot of tall people up front. You know, we've got Zlatan Ibrahimovic look alike tomorrow at Sheffield Wednesday, who's a big lump up front. He's about 6'3", I think. So again, you know, the same question, you could raise the same question for that. And I think what everyone has said is absolutely fair. No one's being damning about everyone, anyone in particular.
Right.
But we've seen the things that are there. And, husband, we like husband. And, you know, it's been interesting to see there's talk that he may stay a bit longer, but I'm not sure if that's because Garbutt isn't progressing or just because that's a wish from the Newcastle, from the Middlesbrough manager. But, no, I like all those comments. I think they're all very, very fair comments.
I totally agree. And listen, my only thoughts, again, because I've watched Ream play, I think Ram Ream will do a job for us, and I think he'll be a compliment to Stearman, but only time will tell if that partnership comes together. Like you said, Hanglin and Hughes probably didn't gel right at first, and they and I thought they complemented each other. I think these two players have different attributes that could potentially complement each other. That's where I'm going on Ream and Stearman, but we'll see. Like you said, David, only time will tell. It's way too early, but of course I have to throw out the question, and then I'm subject to you saying it's too early because you are right about that. But again, I wanted to throw it out there, and now we'll look at it, later on in the season. All right, David, before we break down the match, let's now hear from Kit. I do have Kit's audio clip from yesterday that he did with Sarah. Have you had a chance to see this yet?
No, I should have done it all my boredom, but I had a whole day at hospital yesterday, so I was out of the picture. So, no, looking forward to hearing from it.
All right, that's what's great is that I can play it, you can listen to it, and then we can talk about it afterwards, and then we'll go right into our preview for Sheffield Wednesday and get this show really moving. All right, without further ado, here is Kit.
Kit, talk to me about the game on Sunday. The first 45 minutes, I think it was probably the best 45 I've seen this season. And the second 45 changed quite dramatically. Is that because of Blackburn, the way that they played, and the changes that they made at halftime?
Yeah, it was. They were positive at halftime with their changes. They, 2-0 down, they had nothing to lose, and they put us under a lot of pressure. And I said in the press conference after the game, every championship game I've watched this season, I've watched a lot of other games, not just obviously our ones, and they all follow a fairly similar pattern. No team can dominate for the 90 minutes or even, 75, 80 of those minutes. It seems to be very much a game of two halves, the old classic cliche. And this is championship football, Now, what we need to do is try and make ourselves a bit different from the average championship team and try and get, longer periods when we're in charge and bossing games and creating chances like we did that. First 30 minutes was exceptional. First 45 was very good the other day. The good thing is when we're getting those spells now, we're scoring a couple of goals. We did first half. Rotherham were very, very good. Then we had a bad spell then when they got back into Rotherham. But then we finished the game quite strongly up there. So we need to increase our periods of dominance. But like I say, we're no different to, to other teams in the Championship at the moment. I watched Brighton, for example, watched a lot of their games. Unbeaten, flying at the top of the league. They could have lost every game. They've had spells where the other team's been on top, but they've managed to dig in and hold a nerve and keep their lead.
Is that the difference? Is it making sure that for those periods that the other team, the opposition team, are on top, which will inevitably happen in pretty much every game that's played, that there is a defensive resilience that everybody is there working as a team to prevent that?
Well, that's a lot. Yeah, definitely. That's a lot of the work we've been focusing on this week is those spells then when the other team are having their period of play, that we stay very solid, very much two banks of four, then with one of our forward players dropping down to help out. And we're hard to break down. That's been a big part of the focus this week, alongside our attacking play as well, because, I want to be positive the way we play football, but I want it done from a real solid base. We've got some fantastic players, but I think we've also got good characters now and good people, good players who will work hard for the team and do their defensive duties as well. And I want to start getting a few clean sheets in the league. I've obviously been a defender all my career. As much as I like my teams to play football, I like clean sheets as well. So I want the best of both worlds.
Moussa Dembélé and Ross McCormack, quite a formidable partnership as the season progresses. Tell me a little bit about Moussa, whose confidence seems to have rocketed over the last few games.
Yeah, it's a funny one. We just did our press conference and I was asked, if he'd done loads of weights, he's looking so big and strong. He's no different to how he was 6 months ago, but it's confidence is a huge thing, and it's the perception when you're confident and you stick your chest out and you believe you're going to knock people off the ball and run in behind people, and you're willing to do that and work hard for the team, you look a different player. And it all comes from having that confidence. So Moose has worked hard. He's bought into what we've asked him to try and do. And some of the things don't come naturally to him maybe, but he's taken it on board. He's bought in. He's had a go. And he's looked a better player for it. So... yeah, him and Ross have linked up really well at this moment in time. Obviously, Cordy's come off the bench recently, scored a couple of goals, so he's chomping at the bit, waiting for his opportunity. Big Matt Smith's doing really well coming back from injury. So we've got different options up that end of the pitch, which is good. And we're going to need all of those options and all those players to do their part between now and the end of the season.
In my privileged position on the match day, I saw you take Musa into your office prior to the game. Is that part of your managerial technique to coach players and to have kind of individual time with them?
I think you just have little chats with people here and there if you think it's going to be helpful. You know, it's football management is no different really to managing in any industry. It's about people and bringing the best out of the people that you're in charge of, you know, and sometimes that might be a little pat on the back, sometimes it might be a little kick up the backside, whatever it might be. That's where man management comes in, I think, and it's trying to gauge what's the right thing to do. You know, so I speak to lots of the players at different occasions. Sometimes it's quite sort of light and friendly chat. You know, sometimes it's a bit more serious and we need to do a bit of business. But I think it's important. Communication is key, and if everyone is on the same page, same wavelength, know what they're doing, then I think you've got a good chance of being successful.
Only 6 months ago, we played at Hillsborough in a 1-1 draw. There's been some radical changes for both teams. What are you expecting?
Well, the pitch will be a lot better than it was at that stage last season, because they have obviously huge problems with their pitch, which I know they've spent a lot of money on now, and it's a far nicer surface. They're a very different team to what they were then as well. They've had a lot of changes too. Obviously, new manager for them. And I watched them up at Bolton on Tuesday night, and I was very impressed with them. I thought they played some really good football, passed it really, really well, and created some good opportunities, some good openings. So we'll have to be fully focused and strong and resolute defensively to combat that. But then also, you know, like I say, we can definitely cause them problems without doubt.
They've spent a lot of money on Forestieri over the summer from Watford. How important is it to not let him get off the mark for Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, he's a good player, you know, without a doubt. He did well for Watford. Obviously started for quite a few games, came off the bench and made an impact, albeit wide, or playing as a number 10 that he seems to be doing now for Sheffield Wednesday. But he's a good footballer. But they've got other good players as well, you know. So they're a threat, without doubt, and we'll show them the respect they deserve. But I'm very focused on what we can do and the players we've got and the weapons we've got within our squad. And we can hurt people and cause people problems and score goals. Just like I say, just come back with a clean sheet, it'd be nice.
And Matt Smith scored in that game 6 months ago. How close is he now? I know that you're really pleased with his
progress. Yeah, delighted. I watched. He was out running on Monday as we were training. So I was half looking over my shoulder watching him. And on Monday, it was his first day out on the grass. He looked like he was running on hot coals. He was very nervous. Every step was tentative. And then the Tuesday I watched him run again, the difference was enormous. And I've just watched him today now, which is Thursday, and he's flying. He's doing really, really well. So just the progress over a few days is enormous, and that's given him great confidence as well. He's seen the scan of his knee and how well it's healed and knitted together. So he's in a good place, Matty, right now, really pushing on. He's in good spirits.
I can't remember the last time we've got four wins on the bounce. It would be nice, right?
It would be lovely, yeah. I just want to get a really good run going now for the team. We're capable of doing it, and if you start doing it, then you climb up this championship, this league, very, very quickly. And that's what we're capable of doing. But listen, every other club wants to do the same things, and it's very tough, very competitive. But I've got immense faith in the way we work and in this group of players and in the staff that we've got here. So we'll be okay.
We wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done yesterday with the full manager, Kit Simons, by Sarah Brooks, Director of Communications, who does an excellent job of interviewing him each week. And just glad that we could share these audio clips with you, and we could talk about them afterwards. All right, David, now you've heard from Kit. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad that after a year or so in the job or whatever it is, he's now realised the importance of clean sheets and the fact that we need to start getting a few. So let's hope that he can put his money where his mouth is on that, because we want to see attacking football and goals, but sometimes they're games where you just have to grind them out, and tomorrow might be one of those where you know, you get one goal and you need to grind out a clean sheet if you want to get the points. So it's important at both ends. I think, you know, he can see what we all can see, that there's a good potential of a partnership there between Ross and Moussa up front. And we all saw that.
Yep.
And this has come by the fact that there's been consistent, they've played together. But also Moussa's development, a big, strong, quick lad. And he just, it's a confidence thing with him, I'm sure. The way he put that ball past someone and sort of nutmegged them near the end of the game and nearly scored.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, and no, he realises he can do that. And I think I said about this last week. He just needs to put the ball past people and run and realise he can do it. And he's going to do it more and more. We saw for Ross's goal on Sunday after 4 minutes that, you know, he's outpaced and out-muscled the defenders of the ball. And he's got himself into a great position where he's done the pullback. So I think up that end of the pitch, I think as Kit was saying, we don't have too many worries really. I think the issues are all still the other end with the defending, the clean sheets, but also in the middle and the creativity. And he's still kind of struggling to find that right balance. We've gone from having LVC in the team to having Tunnicliffe. Very soon we're going to have the issue with Scott Parker. What's going to happen there? Is Tunnicliffe going to make way for Parker? You know, I don't think O'Hara's going to be making way. And now we have this thing. I know it's not going to happen this week, but where Fredericks looks like he could set up a good role on the right, maybe with Richards. So does Kearney then become first choice on the left and Kaká and Pringle get moved down? I mean, I'd say it's not going to happen this week because Fredericks is injured. But, you know, there's a few questions there, really, to be posed. Certainly the centre and midfield. You know, poor old Emerson Hyman, I think he's gone, basically. I don't think he wants to stay anyway, and he's not going to get anywhere near the team because we have LBC can't get in the team. Scott Parker, you know, may or may not get in the team soon. So, for me, you know, going on to the kind of the start of this preview for Sheffield Wednesday, I think the key players for Fulham really in this match, although we want Ross and Moussa to be doing what they've done, I think we need to be looking further back, and we're going to be looking at that central defensive pairing, the goalkeeper, and maybe someone like O'Hara in front. It's that kind of pivotal bit there is where we really, it's all going to be won or lost on tomorrow.
Listen, it's a very good point, David, as we go through this preview. You know, again, I've watched some videos of Sheffield Wednesday and also looked at some stats and some of the players, and it's funny. This is going to be a team that's going to be aggressive and a team that is, you know, again, has someone pretty big up front, you know, so there could be some issues that could arise again, and will the center backs be able to handle it? You know, again, that's something that we're going to have to look out for, but I agree with you also. I think a key is going to be the play of Jamie O'Hara. I think, you know, again, controlling the play could be coming down to him, but the play of the center backs could be just as important. So very good by you to mention. I just want to mention real quick before we really get into the preview. One of the things that stood out for me, David, in this audio clip of Kit was, yes, he was talking about the confidence of Moussa Dembele, and I can see it. And you've said this before. You can now see him possibly if he scores one, he could score many, and I could see that coming. I got to be honest with you. You could see the confidence, but he's not the only one that again is showing confidence. You know who else is showing confidence? Kit Simons is showing confidence. Listening to this audio clip, he has, you know, he's showing confidence in his team. I found that refreshing, David, and also important that, you know, he's talking about Sheffield Wednesday and talking about the threat that they're going to give Fulham, but he makes sure to mention the threat that Fulham are going to give them. I found that very interesting.
I hope it's just not sort of idle chit-chat to make things sound good, because I have a terrible fear that Sheffield Wednesday are due a result. They've been underperforming of late. A lot of people from there have been talking them up as potential, you know, promotion playoff teams this year, and they've had a bit of a bad run recently. And whether we're going to be on the receiving end of an improved performance and suddenly we're going to stop doing what we've been doing better. Remember, let's not dress this up too much. On Sunday, we got the result, and it's great. But we were very lucky to win the game, really, let's face it. You know, based on the balance of play, the statistics, the shots on target, the ball that went over the line that wasn't given. You know, and then the match before that, we played Rotherham, and they are a very poor team. And before that, we played a Sheffield United reserve team. So you want to be happy that we've won three games, but we have to remember that we've had three easier fixtures. Remember, Blackburn aren't so great. They're down near the bottom at the moment as well. And yet, second half, they gave us a tough time. So my big fear is that we're going to come down to earth with a big bump tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Oh, boy, David, I hope you're wrong. And listen, I could go on the flip side and say that look how well Brighton's playing, and you know, and we should have gotten something out of the Brighton match, and look how high up the table Cardiff City are, and I think Fulham are a better side than Cardiff City. I hear where you're going on it. You're preparing for the worst, and I do understand that. I hope you're wrong, you know, but I could see why you're building up to that, because they're due for a big game, so let's hope it's not against Fulham. But no, I understand why you're concerned, David. And now I'm just going to share a little information about Sheffield Wednesday. They're currently 18th in the league, and they've only had one win, and it was on opening day. Players to watch include striker up front, Adi Nuhu, just to mention him, a couple of midfielders, Marco Matias, very dangerous, along with midfielder Fernando Forestieri, who Kit and Sarah Brooks were just talking about, comes from Watford. These are the players to look out for, but also center back Tom Lees is a solid player. It's a player I believe that Fulham were trying to get their speculation around him. And Michael Turner could also be playing, who played with Fulham last season on loan. So those are a few players to watch. When I went to my new favorite website, whoscored.com, I got some characteristics of Sheffield Wednesday that I'm going to share with you. Strengths are creating chances through individual skill. Weaknesses: aerial duels, defending counterattacks, defending set pieces, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, avoiding individual errors. Their style: they take long shots, they play the offside trap, they rotate their first 11, and they're very aggressive. I should say aggressive, didn't say very aggressive. I threw in the very part. But that's just to give you a little information on Sheffield Wednesday, David. And, you know, again, as we start our preview, you know, I can definitely see why you're concerned about this match. But let's start here. Who are your key players? It sounds like you already named them. I'm assuming it's going to be the center backs and Jamie O'Hara.
I think the goalkeeper, of course. He may need to turn in another great performance, really, if they're going to get into position. I mean, from what you just said, they don't appear to be supposedly a massive aerial threat, but Nuia, whatever he's called, and Ibrahimovic, you know, he's a big guy. And from what I saw, if he's up against Tim Ream, I think he'd be winning everything, from what I saw last week. But I do wonder, is James Husband okay? I assume he's okay after last week. Because obviously, if Husband wasn't okay, then we would see Ream at left back and Dan Byrne come in.
This is true.
Which is, yeah. I assume otherwise, I mean, we haven't got there yet, but I assume otherwise we're going to see an unchanged team, I would imagine, because after all, they're the team that's won, you know, three on the bounce with little changes. Obviously, there was one change last week with Stearman coming in, but there's only one way Stearman and Ream will get better, and that's playing together. So I would imagine an unchanged team. So, but yeah, no, I think we need to make sure that we're strong at the back, because we just cannot afford to give them goals, easy goals from set pieces, from crosses, whatever. The game is lost. If we can keep it strong at the back with the potential of counter-attacking and everything, because you identified some potential weaknesses there. We get, you know, get set Moussa free, you know, with balls over the top or balls through the channels and strength and him and McCormack, then anything could happen. So I think a game where it's kind of safety first, really. Get, this, you know, that spine of the team strong, the centre-backs, and get O'Hara doing what he does well, getting the ball and using it, taking it away from the danger.
No, very good there, David. And listen, going back to Tim Ream, Tim Ream has played left back a great deal. He did play a great deal for Bolton, and actually for the U.S. men's national team, played two matches at left back. So I said true, meaning that I would assume that if Husband couldn't go, that that Kit would put him at left back, but I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's where I was going on that, and you seem to agree with that because you brought it up. All right, David, what do Fulham need to do to win the match? Let's not concentrate on just getting a point. How do they win this match?
Well, as I said, they've got to be safety first at the back, really. I think ideally we have to keep a clean sheet, but probably in practice, you know, I was right last week by saying we need to score two. I have this terrible dread feeling we need to score three this week to win. So that's my gut feeling, and I hope I'm wrong. I was right last week, but I'm not right every week. But score three, I think, because I have a feeling they could easily get a couple of goals.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, very, very good. All right, now it's time to predict the starting 11 for Kit. You know, again, if you have any thoughts about what you would do, please do share them. But it sounds like to me you think he's going to go with a similar lineup than he did last week. But the one thing that I do want to mention, I'm glad that you mentioned it, David, with the team news that was on the Fulham website, it sounds like Ryan Fredericks will not be part of this match at all. You know, again, that's what it said in the article. And then it sounds like Sean Hutchinson and Nikolai Bodorov, you know, again, will have fitness tests, but I wouldn't expect either one of them to start. So with all that information, what starting 11 do you think Kit's going to go with?
No, I think it'll be the same as last Sunday if everybody's fit to start. I don't think he would drop Ream for Burn, even though there's this perceived threat, because that would send out a very dangerous message. I mean, remember last year, he basically said to Sarah, when we needed more aerial height, you know, about Burn being on the bench, that, you know, he basically wasn't good enough. So if he was then to put Burn in ahead of someone we signed recently, I think it would be a very dangerous thing. I remember, I'll quote something once. This is when I was much, much younger. We used to have a wonderful old-fashioned centre-back, Roger Brown, I'm sure. The late Roger Brown, you might remember. He was a real heroic centre-back. And when we played Liverpool, I think it was in the Cup, they dropped him for 5'2" Paul Parker, who was initially a right-back. But Paul Parker actually was an excellent man-marking centre-back, and he had a great leap on him for someone who's 5'2".
Wow.
But Roger Brown took real umbrage to this, and after that, he never wanted to play for Fulham again, and it was a terrible, terrible shame. So you have to be very, very careful with the scenario of swapping people around, you know, just because this other team have got... Basically, if you know, another team's got a big man up front, you say, right, I'm dropping you, I'm putting someone bigger in, you're basically denouncing their ability in the air completely, and that's a very, very dangerous thing. So I don't think he would make that change unless he had to make the change because of either an injury to Ream, which we don't know about, or if Husband isn't fit to start after his... I think he had a bit of a head injury or concussion or something. But my overriding instinct is that we're going to start with the same 11 as last week. Obviously, the bench would be slightly different, but I think he'll want to stick with a winning team.
Okay, and again, we're talking about this. I'm putting you in the shoes of Kit. You've gone through the pros and cons of potentially playing Dan Burn or well, if you play Dan Burn, you're going to sit Tim Ream. Now, would you do that?
I couldn't do that to a player's confidence, I think.
We're
trying to establish a central defensive partnership here.
I totally agree with that, David. That's the reason why I asked
you. You've got to put your faith in Ream to do the job. Otherwise, we might as well have not bought him at all. If we know he's not that strong in the air and we've bought him, then that's just, you know, perhaps poor planning. But no, you cannot do that. I mean, keep Dan Burn obviously on the bench as an option to bring him on in case we need to supplement things, even go three central defenders at some point. But no, that would be a very, very harsh move, I think, to do that.
Okay. And let me stress this, you know, again, because I have watched Tim Ream. It's not that he can't be decent in the air. He's just not going to be exceptional in the air. I want to stress that. But he does have some other very strong attributes for a center back. So, again, that's why I want to see if these two guys can complement each other. I'm talking about Stearman and Ream. And I think it would, you know, I agree with you. I think it would be a mistake based on one match and not allow this partnership to come together. Even though I see where you're going on with talking about Dan Burn because of the aerial threat. If there's an aerial threat, he's good there. But again, I think it's important to establish this pairing. So I get where you're going on that. Any other things that you might change, David?
Well, I would be tempted with Fredericks if he was available personally, because I'd like to see more of that, but he's not, so that's not going to happen. I think I would keep Ben Pringle in the side as well, even though he faded a little bit last week. And up front, you've got to keep the two. I mean, there's not really many changes you can make. We don't have Parker back yet. I don't think this is the match to change to Tynecliffe back to LBC. Tynecliffe is quite a gritty player, and I think we need that kind of gritty performance in central midfield. So, no, I would keep the team as it was as well.
Okay, very good. And David, what I find interesting, and again, because I was reading an article, and I would recommend everyone reading this article that was on the phone website today, about Ryan Tunnicliffe. He talks about the fact that he had played with Kearney last season at Blackburn and obviously knows Kearney's game. I think that's been a bonus here that we really haven't discussed, the fact that those two players have played together and their chemistry. So that's another reason why Tunnicliffe should play. But this is definitely a game where I agree with Tunnicliffe playing, because I think we're going to need the type of player that he offers in central midfield. All right, David, it's time to go to predictions. I'm going to give you the predictions from the foam supporters, then I'll go to you. Let's start with Ian Keith Evans. This is all on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. He goes 2-1 to foam. Chris Baugh goes 2-0 foam. Our first clean sheet, the playoff push really starts. Wow. Some good confidence there from Chris Baugh. Steve Whittier goes 3-2 to foam. Hat trick for Ross McCormack. Hey, I didn't say it, David. Just so you know, I didn't say it. Steve Woody had said it. Kevin Gower goes 2-0 to Fulham. Andrew Towner says a nervous 1-1. Justin White says 3-1 to Fulham. We're on a roll. It's going to be a big win this weekend. William Kennedy says draw. Colm Bugler says 3-2 or 2-1 to Fulham, with Kennedy to score anytime, but a Fulhamish result would be 0-0. Dean Pill says 1-1. I'd be happy-ish with that. And Stephen O'Keefe says draw. 1-1, same as last season. Very interesting take from the Fulham supporters with their predictions. David, any thoughts before you share your prediction?
I'm going to be a real party pooper then, aren't I? I think I've. For me, unfortunately, I think the wheels will fall off tomorrow, and it's going to be a bad day at the office, and it's going to be 2-0 to Sheffield. So all I can say is hope I'm wrong, guys.
Okay. Hey, David, you're entitled to your opinion. There's nothing wrong with predicting Sheffield Wednesday's going to win. I understand that. It's not a problem, my friend. No one's going to hold that against you. You know, you're looking at it, you're assessing it, and this is your prediction, but you hope that you're wrong. You ready for my prediction, David?
Just don't put any hex on it.
I'm not going to put a hex on it, because I'm going to predict 1-1. I'm going to predict a draw. I think if we got a draw, David, I think that's a good result. And I'm going to say Moussa Dembele is going to score, because I think Moussa Dembele is going to go on a roll, and I think it's just going to continue. I think his confidence is really starting to show and shine. And he's going to shine. So I'm going to say he's going to score, and it's going to be a 1-1 draw, which, David, honestly, I don't think that would be a bad result.
No, I'd take the draw. Listen, Russ, I need to start being wrong more often, obviously, as we know. So let's hope that starts tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. And David, before we go, I want to mention something that you mentioned offline, because, again, we have a few minutes. We were talking about Matt Smith being in charge of the Fulham FC Twitter account today. You had a funny story to share, so please feel free to share it.
Yeah, Matt Smith was in charge of the Fulham FC Twitter, and I'm sure, as most people saw, Corley Woodrow sent in a question, something along the lines, which is your best head or something, I think, as in, which is your best foot? And Matt Smith replies something like, to Corley, certainly isn't yours, with video clips of Corley missing open goals, with the Benny Hill theme music in the background. So poor old Corley, I know he gets it sometimes on Twitter from the fans, but now he's getting it from Matt Smith and the official Fulham Twitter account as well.
It's all in good fun, and I'm sure Corley took it that way. It's all in good fun, and I think that was great that Fulham put him in charge for a little bit of the of the Twitter account, and I think that's pretty funny to do that video, and I hope he didn't take that to heart. I think it was just meant to be funny, and you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that if I'm Collie Woodrow. I just think that he was just trying to be funny. Okay, all right, let's wrap up the show. Anything else you want to say, David, before we go?
No, well, thanks for, you've again lifted me out of my depression. So thanks to you, and also to Mike Gregg for phoning me up earlier and putting up with my ranting and raving. And apologies to all the people I offend on Twitter with my moans and being grumpy. But I'll get out of it sooner or later, hopefully. And say, let's hope I'm wrong tomorrow, because a win will cheer us all up, of course.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, it's time to wrap up the show. Excellent show, David. As always, you were really fantastic today. I enjoyed doing this with you. But it's time to go. For David Holly, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David. Have a good night.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Boys and girls, London calling, that don't